sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the Super Bowl party now. You might as well just stay ahead of the game. The store's really well laid out. Wide aisles, plenty of help to get the cases of the car, plenty of free parking. They also have water, soda, snacks. The peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. As I mentioned before, big barrel pickle guy here, big dill pickle guy. It's all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They don't call it the beverage supermarket for nothing. It is one-stop beverage shopping at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tell us that we sent you over. Yeah, it won't get you any discounts, but it'll make us feel good. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KR Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin tell you a little about the Escape that he turned in this week, and they'll be giving him another car next week to talk about. Great selection of vehicles at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KR Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Last night, college basketball. Arizona's home court winning streak snapped by Oregon. Dave Pasch and the incomparable Bill Walton on the call last night.
Throwing attack over the top.
2-on-1, Dorsey alley-oop to Boucher.
Yeah, Dwayne Benjamin said, Casey, don't take it out. I'll take it out. He threw over the top and they get a 2-on-1. That's an offensive foul.
York pushes off his fourth foul.
This is going to go down as one of the great victories in Oregon basketball history. Over that top pass. That's the one you always look for. But you have to have the size and the vision and the anticipation.
Bill Walton, along with Dave Pasch, they really are a great combination. I mean, is anybody more off the wall and says more unexpected things than Bill Walton? It is a two-hour trip into you don't know where you're going land. And I think that's fun. I think it's fun. I think he does a great job. And Dave Pasch is the perfect straight guy. Pasch is a pro's pro. So they're a great combination. That's why they've done more to enhance you wanting to watch Pac-12 basketball than anybody, those two. I mean, I think that they're terrific together. Great combo. All right, recruiting. Huge weekend coming up for Penn State. A lot of great people cover recruiting. We've had them on the show. One of them happens to be Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated and Rivals. Ryan, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
No problem, man. Jason reached out to me 2 days ago, and I've been having some issues with my phone the past couple days. Worst timing ever to have issues with my phone, by the way. So hoping it just survives till signing day, and then I'll take care of things after that.
We hope so, too. All right, here it is. It's the home stretch. Is the movement that we're seeing, not just in the Big Ten, but across the country with commits, decommits, new commits, is this typical of what we've seen, Ryan, in the last 5 years, or are we seeing a new trend develop?
Well, in the Big Ten, I think we're definitely seeing a trend towards, what fans would consider SEC-style recruiting or big boy recruiting. I've seen it named that before. You know, and that is doing some of the things that, Penn State fans often frown upon. And not just Penn State fans, I think many fans. It's no secret, what Jim Harbaugh has done of late, which is basically, cutting kids at the 11th hour for what they feel are better prospects. That's been at Penn State's detriment over the past couple of weeks with Michael Dunford. Khalik Hudson was someone that wasn't committed, but Penn State was in the running for. And Michigan isn't the only school. DJ Durkin is now down at Maryland, and he's cut about half of their class that was under Randy Etzel. So it's definitely an interesting trend. It's something that we've seen in the SEC, in the Big 12, Pac-12. It's something we've seen everywhere else, and the Big Ten over the years, that wasn't the way things always worked. But, when Urban Meyer came in, then Franklin, and now Harbaugh, things have been changing a bit. Whether it's for the better or for the worse, it depends on who you ask. I mean, you know, I do think it's unfortunate for some of these prospects to get cut, you know, a week or two before signing day. I mean, that's something that, you know, I don't like to see, especially, you know, when some of these guys have been committed for 6, 7, 8 months, you know, they forgo, you know, other schools trying to get them on campus and whatnot. And, you know, they remain loyal and then kind of get screwed over in the end. So you never like seeing that, you know, but at the same time, you know, these coaches are trying to do everything they can to get their program, you know, in contention for a national championship. So it goes both ways, and, right. You know, it just kind of depends on who you ask.
Let's get to what's happening with this weekend coming up. New names are surfacing all the time. So what new names are surfacing for Penn State to take a look at?
Yeah, lots of them. You know, this weekend is setting up to be the weekend, actually. You know, last weekend was looking like to be the most important weekend, but now it's looking like this is the big weekend. So, you know, right now I'm looking at, you know, probably a handful of uncommitted guys. You know, one of the top guys is Dredrick Nelson, a wide receiver out of Florida. You know, he's currently committed to Minnesota, looking at UCF, looking at Miami. And now he's going to come to Penn State this upcoming weekend. So the Nittany Lions have a real chance here, I believe. He's a four-star player, was excellent in the Under Armour All-American game. He'd be a solid add. You know, D-tackle is the position right now that all fans are really talking about. At the moment, you know, I'm looking at three guys. You know, Antonio Shelton, Brendan Thrift, who's a junior college player out of Lackawanna, and also Rashad Weaver, who's out of Florida. Weaver was actually one of the players that was cut from Michigan this past week, so people have heard his name. That's why. So Penn State's going to get those three on campus. Weaver's actually visiting Pitt starting today and into Saturday morning, and then he'll come to Penn State Saturday afternoon and into, I believe, Monday morning. So those are the three guys to definitely watch. You know, Shelton already has an offer. Weaver already has an offer. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with someone like Thrift. And they also, they also had another junior college prospect come in by the name of Tyrell Chavis. So, you know, I do think there's a pretty good chance that one of these junior college guys gets an offer. Will they offer both? I'm still not exactly sure. But, you know, Penn State definitely has some room to work with now. They can go up to, I think it'll probably end up being 22, 23 total. But I believe that they can go higher than that then if needed. So, you know, those are definitely guys to keep an eye on. You know, Daylon Darien's committed to Temple. He's out of the Baltimore area. He's a wide receiver that's going to be coming up this weekend. And they'll also have Alex Barber. He's the kicker who just committed the other day. And also Daniel Joseph, who has been committed to Penn State for some time. So those are the guys I'm watching right now. And, you know, between now and tomorrow, I'm sure I'm going to add another name or two to that as well.
A lot of people are wondering. There's a linebacker that had talked about coming here last week. Snowstorm kept he and his father away. Is that door mm-hmm. open?
Yeah, Brendan Ferns. As of right now, I'm still expecting him to visit West Virginia this weekend. I do believe the Penn State visit with him either today or set to visit with him here in the next hour or two. I believe it's at his school. I'm not exactly sure which coach is there. I believe Franklin's gone, but I'm not 100% sure. I have to double check on that. But I'm sure Pry will be there and some of the other defensive coaches. So, you know, right now, though, I do have to slightly lean towards West Virginia. His brother plays there. He's visited West Virginia multiple times over the past couple months. You know, Penn State's definitely still in the running, though. It's closer to 50-50 than some people think, but I do give a slight edge right now to West Virginia. But the one thing I really want to stress, though, is people keep talking about linebacker. And you know, the one thing really important to keep in mind is next year is one of the best linebacker classes I've ever seen in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Yeah.
Penn State already has one in Dillon Rivers. And I could go on and on. I mean, there's, you know, at least a half dozen guys that Penn State is in a good position with already. And, you know, it's closer to a dozen overall when it comes to top prospects in the region. So next year is going to be a really important year at linebacker, regardless of what Burns
is. Right. The kicker part. There has been obviously some drama that has played out.
To say the least.
Over this. How important was it for Penn State to say, you know what? We've settled and we've taken care of it.
Yeah, it was. I'm not going to say it was overdue, but you know, Quinn Nordin has definitely been dragging Penn State along here over the last couple of weeks. And you know, for someone like Barber, I mean, Barber has made it pretty clear to myself, my colleague Tim Owen, that you know he really wanted a Penn State offer, and you know he's been telling this for I don't know close to a month now. So, you know, I always felt pretty confident that Penn State was going to be able to get him as long as they you know, made the push. Well, sure enough, I mean, it ended up being at the last minute, basically. I mean, Barber was committed to Rutgers, and he went and visited Rutgers last weekend. And, you know, he kind of, I'm not going to say he put an ultimatum down, but, you know, he really wanted to know his standing before he went to Rutgers. Well, sure enough, Penn State offered right around then, and, you know, he came home from that visit and thought about it for a day or two and then decided to commit to Penn State. So it's a really good pickup. You know, he's a solid kicker. You know, Nordine earned the top ranking in the nation for kicker, but I'll just be blunt with you. Don't put too much stock in the kicker ratings, you know, on any of the sites, Rivals, 24/7, whatever. You know, we do our best, but I'm not going to act like my colleagues and I are studying kickers too hard, you know, when you have all the other prospects out there. So, yeah. You know, when it comes to 1, 2, 3, 7, whatever it may be, as long as you got a quality kicker on scholarship, that's the most important thing for Penn State. And Barber is definitely a quality kicker.
This is a big closeout weekend. You mentioned last weekend. How important, Ryan, was it that last weekend that they had the verbal commitments on campus really lock them in? And what kind of job are those verbal commitments doing in helping and aiding and recruiting with the guys that are undecided this weekend?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, no secret. I mean, we talked about this last week. You know, the recruits are the best recruiters themselves, along with their family. And, you know, as far as, you know, last weekend goes, you know, Damar Hamlin and Kalik Hudson ended up being the only two uncommitted guys that came last weekend.
Right.
Kalik is already committed to Michigan. And, you know, right now I think Penn State's in the running for Hamlin, but I would give a slight edge to Pitt. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But all the committed guys are still talking to, you know, a lot of the guys that are coming up this weekend. You know, for example, I know Dredrick Nelson's been in touch with, you know, a couple guys like Shane Simmons and a few others. But at the same time, I will note that, you know, a lot of these guys that are coming up this weekend have only really been on the radar for a couple weeks now. Now, of course, Penn State's been pursuing them, and, you know, they've been in touch for longer than what we've known publicly. But, you know, the recruits themselves, they have an idea for what the staff is doing. But for the most part, you know, they don't learn all the details until someone like myself or, you know, my colleagues that cover other sites, you know, start printing stories on them and whatnot. So, you know, the recruits are doing an excellent job, you know, trying to build relationships with these guys. But for the most part, you know, a lot of these guys didn't know, you know, the new names that are coming until the last week or two. So, you know, they're doing their best to build relationships and push Penn State, but, you know, it's not like they've been talking for a long period of time. But having someone like Joseph up here this weekend, he's committed. You know, he's obviously going to be working on these guys. So will Barber. So, you know, they'll be doing their best. But, you know, it's not the situation that you see during the season, you know, where guys have 2, 3, 4 months to develop relationships because, you know, a lot of these guys just came on to the scene here in the last week or two.
How many phone calls or texts do you find yourself in this final week making per day in order to get – people are aching for information from you. You are a primary source to do that. So what is the activity like for you? Because knowing you as well as I do, you're so anxious to make sure it's absolutely correct. You don't want to be first. Yeah. You want to be right.
Exactly. Do my best with that. You know, depends on who I'm talking with. You know, if I'm talking to sources, it's a lot of phone calls. That's what's been up lately. I mean, a lot of these, you know, when you get to this stage, Steve, a lot of these guys have been getting calls for so long. I mean, some of these guys have been, you know, dealing with the media since sophomore year. So when you get to this point with just a week or two left, the last thing they want to do is do a full interview with me, which I totally understand.
Right.
And so, you know, with a lot of these guys, so it's a lot of text messaging more than anything, but, you know, when it comes to sources or whatnot, that's where a lot of my phone calls are with. But, you know, I would say on an average, I mean, I'm probably texting with at least 10 kids a day over the past week or two, or at least I'm doing my best. You know, I'm sending out at least 10 to 15 a day. It depends on who gets back to me. But, you know, it's definitely a very busy time. But, you know, at the same time, like I said, it's a lot of guys aren't really trying to deal with the media at this point. So, you know, unless I'm driving out to their schools, there's only so much that I can do. And, you know, I love my subscribers, but, you know, they're going to have to pitch in for gas, so they want me to drive all over these places. So, you know, it's very busy, but at the same time, you know, I do my best to not push these guys, to not bug them. You know, I send a text message, just ask, you know, man, please get back to me whenever you can, you know, no rush or anything. And for the most part, I think guys respect that. You know, some just ignore it. You know, some say, hey, you know, I'll get back to you when I can. And I try and go about it as respectful as I can because, you know, I know how many times I'm messaging these guys. And, right. You know, if you times that by all the other Penn State sites, you know, all the other, you know, sites that cover different schools, it becomes a lot. So I just try and go about things the best I can and be as respectful as I can. And, you know, that's also one of the reasons I deal with a lot of parents now.
Right.
I found that, yeah. You know, parents really respect it when I go through them. And that usually leads to quicker information, especially this time of the year.
One final question before I let you go. We've talked about what they're trying to do to close out before next Wednesday. What kind of job is now being done on 17, 18, even at the same time that they're closing on 16?
Oh, yeah, that doesn't stop. That doesn't stop at all. I mean, right now, you know, it's mainly just over Twitter, you know, trying to
right.
keep it casual, stay in touch at least once or twice a week to, you know, to make these guys known that, hey, you know, we're not forgetting about you. You know, but you know, over the past 3-4 months, I mean, they have been well ahead of most other schools in the region when it comes to developing those relationships. And that's something that I really like to stress to people. You know, Penn State was in a great position this spring, planning all the commitments they did, you know, especially going into the summer then by the last bash. I mean, they were in a very good position where they had, you know, 3/4 to, you know, even more of that of their class filled. Well, you know, now they've had a couple guys decommit, but that cycle of getting commitments early, getting commitments in the spring, getting them by midsummer, that's so important because that allows the staff to shift more focus towards 2017 and beyond. And that's how you know, you stay in that cycle then. You know, if you can get in touch with these guys, you know, that's how you continue that cycle, getting early commitments next year. And if you can stay in that cycle, it is a major, major plus to recruiting. So, you know, right now they take a little bit of a hit, but, you know, they already have 2 commitments in 2017, and I expect, you know, this spring and summer to be something similar. And I don't know if they're going to land 15, 20, but if they can get 10, 12, you know, commitments by, you know, June, July, it's so important because that allows the staff then to push a little more focus into 2018 and 2019. And, you know, like I said, if you can stay in that cycle where you continue to get early commitments, you know, you're going to be ahead of, you know, Rutgers and Maryland and some of the other schools in the region.
Great respect for your work and your effort and how direct you are with everybody. Ryan, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
No problem. I already talked to Jason. I'm locked in for next Wednesday.
Ah, we'll good. All right. We're in. That sounds great. Thank you, Ryan. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, and great to have him on board on the show again today to talk about, obviously, what's so important. It's the lifeblood of any program, and that is recruiting. Now, look, once they get here, you don't know. We'll find out how everything plays out. Once they get to Ohio State, once they get to Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, we'll find out how it plays out. I don't know. You know, none of us knows. You don't know until the class is done, and then you start doing an analysis. Look, I always feel that if half the guys make it for you, you've had a really good recruiting class. If half the guys can make it for you and be impact players for you, you can get more than that, then you got something really special going on for you. But you just need to have a merger of all the classes, and that's what Penn State's been going at here. They've been going at you know, trying to get a class balance together and make it work from there. Bill O'Brien did the best he could under the circumstances, but those classes were all ranked in the 45. Those two classes he had were ranked between 45 and 55. Literally did the best he could with limited numbers and hard decisions to make. But when you're ranked between 45 and 55 recruiting classes, that does come back to hurt you unless you have dramatic development. James Franklin's trying to put together another strong class, a big weekend. They're trying to close it out here. We're trying to get Terry Smith and Josh Gattis on the show next Wednesday. And Ryan, as you heard, he'll be back next Wednesday as well to talk about this and much more. Tomorrow's a big day at Madison Square Garden in New York, and you're going to love our Bozo of the Day. It's a beauty. It's under the category if you had just one job, man. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, and I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We head to the bottom of the hour. News coming up next as we continue. The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When the snow blows in to your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Snowbusters!
Winter has finally arrived.
Were you ready?
If not, no problem. Sunbury Motors has snowbusting vehicles to help you through the next big storm. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 50 2016 Ford Escapes in stock. Save $3,750 now. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Check out the vehicle that redefines the compact SUV with its new design. The all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. The all-new 2016 Hyundai Tucson all-wheel drive starts at just $24,820. Sunbury Motors Kia has 49 snow-busting Kia Sorentos and Sportages, all clearly sale-priced and all with 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. See their entire snow-busting inventory at sunburymotors.com. A tradition of trust for over 100 years.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. Joined us in the opening half hour. Nikki Javala, the Denver Post on the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, by the way, will be the subject of our Bozo of the Day in just a few moments. Yeah, we had Nikki on in the second half hour. And our thanks to Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, for being on with us in the third half hour. If you missed anything, check out the Steve Jones Show podcast, and you'll be able to get up to date on all the interviews we've had. Still to come, Brendan Quinn from Ann Arbor, as we preview tomorrow's matchup between Penn State and Michigan in basketball. That will take place at Madison Square Garden in New York. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. You need to stock up this weekend, and also why don't you start stocking up for the Super Bowl party right now. Whether you're going to one, you want to bring some stuff with you, or you're hosting one, then obviously you're going to have to make sure you're fully stocked and set to go. Brewers Outlet is one-stop shopping. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. Might I recommend the Barrel and Dills? Unbelievable. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Off to Madison Square Garden in New York tomorrow. Penn State and Michigan at noon, then hockey at night. Last night, Michigan, the 6th-ranked team in the country, beat 14th-ranked Penn State. 7-4 at Pagula. The two teams play tomorrow night at 7 in the Garden. We'll talk a little bit about more about that in just a moment with Brendan Quinn. But first, our sports bozo of the day, and this is a beauty. It falls under the category of, look, you had just one job, man. Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, home of Super Bowl 50. Levi's Stadium grounds crew, along with the grounds crew that they bring in from the National Football League. Yes, the home office. And their job is to make sure the field is ready. Part of getting the field ready, of course, is painting the logos on the field, which means painting the end zone. So, as you look at it, you'll look to the right end zone, you'll see the Denver Broncos. And they go out and they paint the Denver Broncos end zone exactly the way you would see it at Invesco Field at Mile High, exactly the way you want it. Now you flip it over to the other side and you start painting. And guess what they did? They painted that end zone in the Denver Broncos logo as well. Yes, they painted the Broncos logo in both end zones, exactly the way it is at Invesco Field. Finally, somebody realized, oh, wait a minute, we have an issue here. I think that's supposed to be the Carolina Panthers end zone.
Now, fortunately, the Panthers, their end zones at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, their end zone is in black, which is great to cover up any mistakes. But they had to redo it. I don't. How do you possibly sit there and supervise this and look to your right and see them painting the Broncos and look to your left and see they're also painting the Broncos and say, yo, whoa, stop, hey, guys. No, they actually finished the job and then had to go back and had to redo the Carolina end zone. You had just one job, man. Fortunately, it's done 9 days out, but that is our sports bozos of the day. And with that, we bring in the mighty Quinn, Brendan Quinn. Brendan, first of all, apologies from me to you. I know I was down in Jacksonville doing the Tax Slayer Bowl while Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman went out with you to dinner in Ann Arbor. I'm sorry I couldn't be there, my friend. It's great to have you with us.
You were the only reason I went. You're the only reason I agreed to go, man.
That's false advertising, Brandon. You know that.
you left me having a battle with Girardi all night. I mean,
my God,
the winters here are long enough as they are without his stories.
And now everyone knows that I owe this man. I owe you. Okay. Hey, it's great to hear you again.
Absolutely.
Let's start with this. There are very few teams that, you know, you do your game prep. And like I always tell everybody in my class, you know, you've got all this information on your chart, maybe 1% or 2%, you know, you'll use in the broadcast, but it changes every broadcast. Here's one that will make it. 43% of the points for Michigan are from outside the arc. 42% are from two-point shots. Shep Garner would be sixth in three-point percentage on this team, and he leads Penn State. Have you seen an overall better outside? You know, there have been great shooters like Stauskas and so forth, but
right,
there's a collection of guys that can do this?
I mean, no, not with this level of balance. Where it can come in a hurry, and it can come from all over the place. With Duncan Robinson is one of the, he's probably in the conversation for two or three, you know, who's the best shooter in the country.
Right.
I'm talking period, the
right,
best shooter in the country. Buddy Hield probably has the nod, but I mean, Duncan's as good of a shooter as you'll see. And it comes from all over the place. They have four shooters on the floor pretty much at all times. In terms of like a team that reliant on threes, you know, Michigan is even above their typical standards. This and some of the recent Villanova teams. Other than that,
right,
you really haven't seen a team that is this just tied to that. That attack, that's what they do. And when they don't do it well, you get a game like last night where they just looked miserable against Rutgers.
Yeah, they were two for their first 12 in threes. But then when the game was over, they made 11 threes and 9 twos.
Right.
I mean, amazing in the end how it turned out. I want to ask you about Duncan Robinson. Went to Williams up in Northwest Massachusetts, up in the Berkshires, Division III school. But John Beilein has a connection there in the coaching tree. What brought him to Michigan? Because I know he's the first ever Division III player to get a scholarship at Michigan.
When I profiled him this summer, I couldn't find one Division I men's basketball player who ever transferred from Division III on a full scholarship.
Right.
Period. Now that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I just didn't find it, but in terms of going on a full ride, D3 directly to D1, I don't know if it's ever happened. And you're right. I mean, it's a great story of, you know, 6 degrees of separation in college basketball, where it took a series of kind of ridiculous dominoes that starts with the Detroit Pistons, of all teams, really. If you all the way back to square one, the Pistons fired their GM. They then hired the head coach of Marist to be their head coach. Marist, in turn, hired Mike Maker, who was the very successful head coach at Williams College.
Right.
Duncan Robinson would still be at Williams if this didn't happen, because he and Mike Maker are really, really close, and he wouldn't have transferred. He's a really bright student. Williams is obviously one of the best schools in the country.
Right.
And once Mike went to Marist, the idea entered Duncan's head of what kind of interest could he get. He was a Division III National Freshman of the Year, and lo and behold, interest started cooking pretty quickly, and Mike Maker contacted John Beilein because Maker was on Beilein's staff at West Virginia.
Yep.
And, bing, bang, boom, Robinson decided between Davidson and Michigan, and is now, I think, second in the country in three-point percentage.
It's really remarkable, and it's 6'10". You know how 6'8". And a guy at 6'8", the ability to get his own shot is very easy. he's got to go. He's got to shoot over anybody really that's out there. And
closing out on him is you either deny him the ball or he's gonna get a shot off if he really wants to. He'll put it over you. So I think you're better off guarding him with some speed and some length. For sure,
right.
He's anyone under 6'4". He's just chewed him up this year, and he's even adding some more stuff off the bounce. He's been burning guys on some back cuts because you have to be so committed to him beyond the arc. You can't let him breathe. And you take your eyes off him, he can back cut you. He's not as quick as Stauskas, but he knows his way around the court.
There are not many guys in the world that go from the little three to the Big Ten. All right, so and that's what he's done. Caris LeVert. Without Caris LeVert, they are 5-2. Now, some would say, "Oh, well, they lose Caris LeVert. Look at the chemistry of the team." Yet LeVert still leads the team in assists. I mean, he actually was playing really good team basketball. It's my understanding that John Beilein and Caris LeVert have now agreed on a time for him to start practicing again. Not start playing, but start practicing. True?
Yeah, I would say it's highly in terms of interest of your listeners.
He's not playing Saturday.
It's highly unlikely that he played Saturday. I would put it at 98% at the moment, because you never say 100. So very unlikely for that. I think he will be back at some point in February, just to get some run. They'll probably ease him back in, if anything. The goal being for the closing stretch, and then obviously the postseason. But what's interesting in terms of how Michigan looks without him. They benefited while his injury, along with Derek Walton's, just totally derailed what was already a bad season last year.
Right.
People forget that they lost to NJIT and Eastern Michigan with Caris and with Derek. So it was already a season that was kind of off the hinges, and then they got injured and it was all done. But now in hindsight, going through that, they've really handled his injury this year really, really well. Zach Ervin's game is growing by the week. He's much more of a facilitator than he ever was.
Right.
He's now getting assists in bunches, and they're really playing well. Robinson's presence as a shooter just really opens up the offense so much that if they have enough talent and they run Beilein stuff, they'll still score 75, no problem.
He's used a lot of players this year, but I noticed on Wednesday night against Rutgers, that really was, for all intents and purposes, a seven-man rotation.
100%.
Were you surprised that that he cut the rotation back that much? I mean, the Rutgers game, to their credit, Rutgers, hung in there, played well for a period of time, so forth. I got it. Sanders played well. But still, I mean, were you surprised it was only essentially a seven-man rotation?
Yeah, their depth just hasn't really developed this year. They have a very large sophomore class, much of which has not taken the next step that you'd like to see in their progress. They're basically playing Moritz Wagner, a German freshman who we expected to barely really have to rely on this year. He's now their primary backup center. They just haven't had any real consistency in those 8-9 spots in the rotation. And it's to the point where we don't know who their 8 and 9 guys are going to be
right
from game to game. He's basically, he goes by the previous 2 days of practice, and those guys get the minutes. It could be Cam Chapman, it could be DJ Wilson, it could be Ricky Doyle. You have no idea until they come in. You say, oh, I guess he practiced well. You really, right. And we don't have any access, so we have no idea.
You mentioned Walton earlier. He had missed 3 games, and now he's back in full swing for them. He's a guy that's hurt Penn State over the last couple of years. He's been a tough matchup for them. Where has Walton become a better player in your estimation, Brandon?
Probably just his rhythm. He stays a little bit more under control. Like, I think he kind of lets the game come to him more. I know that's an overload of cliches all at once, but he kind of just knows. I think he knows how to be a point guard more than he ever has. And he's also one of the best rebounding guards in the country. It's actually kind of interesting. I haven't seen the numbers that Walton's put up a bit against Penn State because typically I would think a good matchup for him is a guy who's a little bit bigger but who can keep up with it and actually bump it, you know, put a body on him.
Yep.
And it feels like Penn State's had guards that you could describe that way. Maybe just the matchups haven't fallen their way, though. You probably remember better than I, Steve.
Well, what's interesting, though, is that Walton leads the team in rebounding. And I think a lot of people would not realize that until he actually sat down and looked at the stats. He's the team's leading rebounder. Yeah, I think he has 3 double-figure rebounding games this year.
Yeah, I mean he's the best rebounder on a bad rebounding team, and a lot of that also goes back to the style in which they kind of attack rebounding, and that is with him being one of the best and most athletic. You know, he goes at the rim, and everyone else their first instinct is to put a body on someone and let someone else get the rebound. And that even goes for the bigs. It's a really interesting model. It's a very Beilinian in its philosophy. they don't attempt to offensive rebound. I mean, they don't even attempt it.
Right.
And for a team that, like we've already discussed, shoots buckets worth of threes to not attempt 3-point shooting, I mean, you would say, well, that doesn't add up too much. But then you look at it and you're like, oh, well, he's also won 700 games over 38 years. So maybe he's figured it out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also also changes up and plays a lot more zone, too, than most people.
He did. And he's been doing more so of that in the last couple of weeks, actually. Yeah. Last night was a lot. It was a lot of zone for this group.
I noticed that last night in watching it. One final question. The game, of course, is at Madison Square Garden. This is a big-picture game for the Big Ten. How do Michigan people look at the fact that the game is going to be in the Garden?
Well, they love it. Actually, Penn State kind of is getting a raw deal here, in my view. Having to give up a home game is brutal. I can't imagine old Coach Chambers is too thrilled with that deal. Even though I'm sure they'll make more money on the gate because it's still considered a Penn State home game, right?
Yeah, I get it. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to work that part. That part I don't know.
Well, I think it's still considered a Penn State home game. They get the gate. So
right.
Because there's no way anyone would agree to take that kind of hit financially. But, to not only lose a home game, but then to play Michigan in New York, I don't think any team in the Big Ten can draw as well as Michigan in New York. I've covered 2 games in Brooklyn.
Right.
Versus Stanford in 2013-14, and then actually 2 games there last year, one against Villanova, one against Oregon. And, I mean, they had easily 12,000-13,000 right. Michigan fans there for both, even against Villanova, which obviously draws well in New York. It had the feel of a Michigan home game, and I would, even with Penn State having ticket control, I guess first dibs basically on those ticket sales, I'd fully expect it to be much more of a Michigan feel in the crowd, more so than Penn State, even though there might be a Penn State logo on the court.
No, there won't be a Penn State logo on the court. I think the Garden's going to take control of that one.
They'll be wearing white.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah, they'll be wearing white jerseys. They'll have some buses coming from here over there with students and so forth, which will be fine. What's interesting, though, is that I think the theory on this is that at some point Penn State will play in this game and that they will be the road team and thus not give it up. But I've now seen the roster of the next few games. Penn State isn't on the roster of the next few games in there. So it's going to be years before that happens.
And also, if you look at what teams are the future teams giving up home games, are all at the bottom of the standings right next to Penn State. Yeah. So it's very clear here what the Big Ten is doing.
Yeah, Minnesota, Rutgers. So
that's not a coincidence.
Okay,
could you imagine?
No offense. No offense to the conference. No offense to the conference, but we can read.
I mean, could anyone imagine going up to Tom Izzo and suggesting they give up a home game to go play at the Garden? I mean, they'd get run out of the office. It would be comical.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you.
As well, I'll be there, man. Great. We'll do it up. Maybe lunch. Or something.
That sounds great. I look forward to it. Great talking to you, Brandon.
All right, see you.
Brendan Quinn, great to have him with us on the show today to preview Penn State, Michigan tomorrow, Madison Square Garden in New York. It'll be a noon tip, and then they'll drop the puck at 7 tomorrow evening on the basketball hockey doubleheader at Madison Square Garden, which will be a big picture moment for the Big Ten. BTN's going to be there live tonight, live tomorrow morning. Gus Johnson, John Crispin doing the basketball game tomorrow. Top hockey team there with Dan Kelly there tomorrow night to do the game with Ben Clymer. I've worked with them before on BTN and really liked working with the two of them very, very much. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Thanks to Matt Leon, Nikki Javala, Ryan Snyder, and Brendan Quinn for being on the show today. Have a great and safe weekend, everyone.